I wanna hotan, give back them hakolo image, each tanum, viqua me yuntik. Bienvenidos a todo. First I think we wanted to make sure that we acknowledged the land that we were on tonight. Some of you might think I mean your houses, but I actually don't mean that land. I meant the land that's beneath your homes. And in this place where you've made your home. So the Coast Salish land, Duwamish. And with us here tonight, we also have Celeste, who's from Muckleshoot, of course, Cedar from Suquamish. And there may be others of you here, but we wanted to make sure that we acknowledged the land that we're on. So that's really important. I'm gonna read a few poems, and then I'm gonna turn into your MC. First, I wanna make sure that I just wanted to get the thank yous out first. And Tree, thank you so much for always just being a place where we can come. I knew immediately, like, who can we call about this? And it's like, call Tree. She will help you make something happen. And also Idalme, just for being willing to, like, say, yeah, what if we did this, you know, why not, let's see if we can make it happen. And Jennifer, who's always my partner in crime lately, we're always getting ourselves into small knots and tangles of things that turn out to be very beautiful and wonderful. Open Books, thank you for coming out and selling books for us. And then, of course, our beautiful, powerful readers. I think I speak for a lot of us when it's our luck to be here with you in this place with your poetry. I'm gonna read three short poems. American arithmetic. Native Americans make up less than 1% of the population of America, 0.8% of 100%. Oh, mine efficient country. I do not remember the days before America. I do not remember the days when we were all here. Police kill Native Americans more than any other race. Race is a funny word. Race implies someone will win, implies I have as good a chance of winning as who wins the race, which isn't a race. Native Americans make up 1.9% of all police killings, higher than any race, and we exist as 0.8% of all Americans. Sometimes race means run. I'm not good at math. Can you blame me? I've had an American education. We are Americans and we are less than 1% of Americans. We do a better job of dying by police than we do existing. When we are dying, who should we call? The police or our senator? Please, someone, call my mother. At the National Museum of the American Indian, 68% of the collection is from the United States. I am doing my best to not become a museum of myself. I am doing my best to breathe in and out. I am begging. Let me be lonely, but not invisible. But in an American city of 100 people, I am Native American, less than one, less than whole. I am less than myself, only a fraction of a body. Let's say I am only a hand. And when I slip it beneath the shirt of my lover, I disappear completely. You don't have to clap. We prefer drums, actually. Yeah. Like church. My woman comes to me like darkness, long and through my open window, mullion, transom. A good window lets the outside participate. I keep time on the hematite clocks of her shoulders. I've done so much of it. Time. Her right hip bone, a searchlight sweeping me, finds me. I have only ever escaped through her body. What if we stopped saying whiteness so it meant anything? For example, if you mean milk of magnesia, say milk of magnesia. or salt, or they've hurt another one of us, or the way the moon is a smoke atop the dirty water, or the pearline damp she laces up my throat, my face, mi caracol. They think brown people fuck better when we are sad, like horses or coyotes, all hoof or howl, all mouth clamped down in the hair on the neck and asses in the air. You ask, who is they, even though you know. You want me to name names. Shoot, we're named after them. You think my creator had ever heard of the word Natalie? Huh. When he first made me, he called me Snake. Then promised the afterlife would be reversed. South turned north, thick with watermelons. But it's hard, isn't it, not to perform what they say about our sadness when we are always so sad? It is real work to not perform a fable. Just ask the turtle, ask the hare. Remind yourself and your friend, sometimes I feel fast, sometimes I am so slow, sometimes I get put down in the street. Always I win the wound they hang on my chest. Remind yourself, your friends, they are only light because we are dark. If we didn't exist, it wouldn't be long before they had to invent us, like the light switch. But our creator says, kingdom, and we come. Remind our friends, we fuck like we church, best, and full of God and joy and sins and sweet upside down cake. And when they ask me what's in your love's eyes, I tell them, wild watermelons, green on green, striped. She and I, we eat the watermelon, and now she is my eye. And this is a last poem. From the desire field. I don't call it sleep anymore. I'll risk losing something new instead, like you lost your rosin moon, shook it loose. But sometimes when I get my horns in a thing, a wonder, a grief, or a line of her, it is a sticky and ruined fruit to unfasten from, despite my trembling. Let me call my anxiety desire then, let me call it a garden. Maybe this is what Lorca meant when he said, verde que te quiero verde. Because when the shade of night comes, I am a field of it, of any worry ready to flower in my chest. My mind in the dark is una bestia, unfocused, hot, and if not yoked to exhaustion beneath the hip and plow of my lover, then I am another night wandering the desire field. Bewildered in its low green glow, belling the meadow between midnight and morning. Insomnia is like spring that way, surprising and many-petaled, the kick and leap of gold grasshoppers at my brow. I am struck in the witched hours of want. I want her green life, her inside me in a green hour I can't stop, green vein in her throat, green wing in my mouth, green thorn in my eye. I want her like a river goes, bending, green, moving. Fast as that, this is how it happens. Soy una sonambula. And even though you said today you felt better, and it is so late in this poem, is it okay to be clear, to say, I don't feel good? To ask you to tell me a story about the sweet grass you planted and tell it again or again until I can smell its sweet smoke, leave this thrashed field and be smooth. Gracias. So I know we're transitioning back, so I thought I would just tell you a story that my grandmother used to tell me all the time. It's a scientific story, so it's not your, I know you think I'm gonna tell you like a typical Indian story, but this is really just straight science. So a long time ago, like with all Mojave stories, we start a long time ago. So Achkor Thanam, so a long time ago. The Mojaves used to be scattered all over the Colorado River Valley, the Colorado River Basin. And so we lived so far away that, you stayed just with your kind of immediate family. But once a year, we would try to gather together so that we could share news, the good news and the bad news, what battles were won, which battles were lost, who lived, who died, these things. And so they would all come together in the winter time. So, once a winter, you guys, I think, call it Christmas, but we just were getting together to talk to each other. And so we would come together, and of course, because it was winter, we were in mud houses at that time, and so there would be a big fire in the middle, and everybody would come and sit around the fire, and I'm sure you've seen pictures of Indians sitting cross-legged around in a circle. It looked nothing like that. but so we, of course we'd come in and sit and talk, but also we didn't come alone. We also, of course, were Native, we're Indigenous, so we would bring our dogs with us. And so our dogs would also come from all different parts of the valley. And while their human owners, the Mojaves, were meeting, the dogs would also be meeting. And so the dogs had their own mud house, of course, And so the dogs would come in and sit around the fire, but, because we're Indigenous and we sit, I think you call it Indian style, so of course we sit like this, like you cross your legs and sit like that. And the dogs, would sit that way also, but in order to do that, they had to unscrew their tails because they couldn't sit that way. And so as they would come into the mud house, they would unscrew their tail, so we'd sit and unscrew it. And they were screwed on tight, so it took a few minutes. So they would unscrew their tail, and then they would set it up against the wall of the mud house and sit around the circle, around the fire, and share news. And so each dog would come in, unscrew their tail, set it up against the wall, sit in the circle, and, on and on. And one evening, there was a really good story being told. It was about some great battle. And one of the dogs, of course, it was probably a Chimoweve who came in late. I'm not sure, but they're often late. So anyway, one of the dogs came in to the circle, and he was late, and he saw everybody sitting there, and they were so like wrapped in attention, and so he took off his tail, but he was careless, and so he wanted to sit down so bad that he didn't take his time putting the tail up against the wall. So he was unscrewing his tail, half walking into the circle, and he kind of tossed his tail against the wall where all the other tails were, and of course just. One by one, all the tails fell. But he was ashamed, of course. Sometimes natives get shamed. That's one of the things we say at home is don't be shamed. But he was ashamed. He didn't want to say anything. So he just went and sat in the circle and listened to the story. And then when it was time to go, because all the humans were coming out of the mud house and they were getting ready to go back, so all the dogs had to go, and they went to find their tails. But the tails were in a giant pile. And so they just grabbed any tail, screwed it on, and went on about their business. And that's why today, this is scientific information, that's why today dogs sniff each other's butts, because they're trying to find their tail. And so that's, you don't need to ask your veterinarian, that's just Mojave science.